Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
The story is happening in Venezuela. As everybody can see, the mainstream media is now just beginning to cover it, as we predicted, but not showing you everything else that happened before, but basically stepping in and saying, hey, there's a new president, didn't you hear? That's all that you get to hear. That's because that's them controlling the narrative. For those that are interested, My previous two shows of the last couple of days have been showing how this has been building and how it has already started, as well as my past work on the channel for years and the website, showing you how Venezuela has been in the crosshairs of the U.S. oligarchy for decades. So please be sure and check those out if you're interested, because this has been a long time coming. And now it's already happened, to be honest, but it's already there, something that they've been planning for a long time that has to do with the oil reserves, the gold reserves, Venezuela dropping the dollar, and so much more involved in this story. But in general, I think it's important for us to recognize how this is developing and the fact that the media is now trying to control the way you're looking at this. And we've recently talked about the National Assembly as well as the Constituent Assembly and the difference between those two things. And we're going to get into all of this today. I'm going to begin with a lot of discussion again about Venezuela and how it has developed just today with the new information, but also with the discussion of some things that are happening in Syria, new attacks on Gaza, and some interesting stuff in regard to the INF treaty. So please stay tuned for all of it. And all I ask is for those out there that staunchly disagree with my opinion, and it is my opinion, on Venezuela, all I ask is that you put aside the emotional reaction for a moment and ask yourself why it makes sense to believe people who have been caught lying time and time again. And the people that, Bolton being one of them, that's been around since the Bush administration and even further, who has been responsible for the devastation of Iraq, the devastation of Afghanistan, the devastation of Libya. And now we're just supposed to believe then that this is the next person that they need to save. Well, let's take a look. Let's go through this today and kind of take a look at some of the other countries that have been liberated and how it's worked out for those people. So to begin today, I would like to start with an article from Zero Hedge that, again, this is coming from the new information of today. And again, for those that want to see the more information, please go back and check out the last couple of videos. But in honestly, a lot of the stuff I'm going to recap today. But the first article entitled, U.S. refuses to withdraw diplomats from Venezuela. Quote, we'll take appropriate actions if harmed. Now, this is something that I just touched on. This is a dangerous situation. It makes me kind of think back to Libya in regard to using the death of the ambassador as a justification and knowing that they were in danger. And this gets into the whole discussion of Benghazi with Clinton and the idea of how, in a way, no action was taken to keep them safe. And maybe that was intentional. And so then leaving these people here does seem like a very dangerous step. And I argued possibly what they're hoping is that they'll be arrested or hurt, and so they can use that as justification to take further action. We know for sure if all of a sudden a U.S., somebody connected with U.S. at all was harmed or arrested, or harmed specifically, that would be cause for military action. And we can guarantee that that would happen. But this is a very interesting developing story. So yesterday, Maduro broke diplomatic relations with the U.S., giving American diplomats 72 hours to leave Venezuela. Caracas, technically, after President Trump declared Maduro's political opponent, Venezuelan National Assembly President Juan Guaido. Now, National Assembly, we're going to get into that again more in a second, but this is the illegitimate group that the Supreme Court has already ruled is illegitimate. And this is the group that they're backing. It's important to think about that. And that they're declaring him the interim president of Venezuela. As you'll note in the title today, this is a running theme that we've been seeing all of a sudden, having these parallel governments that they deem legitimate. Now, in what may shape up to be a major international incident in regard to these ambassadors over the next 48 hours, the United States has refused to withdraw diplomats from Venezuela, saying in a Wednesday evening statement that the U.S., quote, stands with interim president Juan Guaido, adding, quote, the United States does not recognize the Maduro regime, of course, always using that word, as the government of Venezuela. Accordingly, the United States does not consider former President Nicolas Maduro to have the legal authority to break diplomatic relations with the United States or to declare our diplomats persona non grata. Now, again, for those that are in disagreement, and that's okay, we're allowed to disagree and have different opinions on these things. But the reality here is that I continue to point out the fact that there were hundreds, hundreds of international auditors from different countries around the world that deemed this election legitimate, as well as Jimmy Carter himself, who said it was one of the most legitimate elections he's ever seen. Now, they all could be wrong, which seems like quite a stretch. Certainly possible. But regardless, how is it possible that the United States has the authority to step in and simply say, we disagree with all of these people, and now just name this person president from an assembly that is no longer legitimate? This is alarming and a very, very dangerous step. Now, it's also being reported that after Venezuelans took to the streets en masse, which is now we're seeing all over the media, which is being labeled an anti-Maduro protest, even though I've actually heard from many on the ground, different sources that I'm speaking to, and again, they could be swayed and biased as well, or even flat out lying. But what I'm hearing is that some of what they're actually showing in these mainstream displays of anti-Maduro protests are actually those out there marching in support of Maduro. So think about that for a moment. How would we know for sure when they show these massive groups of people that that is what they're protesting? This is what they're saying. There are indeed definitely anti-Maduro protests. There are plenty of people that disagree. There's a large faction of people that don't want Maduro to be president, just like there's a massive faction in this country that don't want Trump to be president. But that does not mean that this is an okay situation. Anyway, the point is, understand that there are also protests out there being mislabeled by the mainstream media. But they just showed a crowd, but the point is, and they name it that, is what I was going to say. I had that written down there, but they just kind of call it what they want it to. But it's being reported that pro-Maduro forces, and this is important because people would argue if I didn't report on this that I was giving you unbiased coverage. It's being reported that pro-Maduro forces have fired live rounds into the crowds, killing several people. Now, other reports are that they only fired warning shots in the air. But there is video of what appears to be someone on the ground that was shot. But remember in this, and this certainly could be true, but remember, this exact kind of thing was debunked in past events, such as in Iran, in Syria, where there are literally people on the ground involved with the opposition who create these kind of reports in order to be used to justify the regime change. Is that what happened here? I don't know for sure. But if you cannot acknowledge that it's happened in the past and consider that we could be being lied to basically push forward yet another destructive regime change backed by the U.S. oligarchy for U.S. interests that have nothing to do with American interests, then you're lying to yourself, at least ignoring something that's extremely relevant. Because conflicting sources say conflicting things, and usually it's pro-opposition versus pro-Maduro. So think about that. Now, in a related story coming up right after this that I recently saw this morning entitled Catastrophic Consequences, Russia warns U.S. against military intervention in Venezuela. Now, clearly, Russia is now backing Venezuela and saying, no, this cannot happen, which, interestingly enough, is probably counterproductive because people that are already on the side of the Venezuelan regime change, while U.S. is screaming about Russian meddling, which is humorous to me, but the fact that those people are likely going to be like, oh, Russia's involved, that just guarantees what I'm, that proves what I'm saying. It's all a big, you know, this is, people are so anti-Russia today because of the propaganda, that this is probably counterproductive. But Russia's now standing up and saying that this is not something that should be happening. Commenting on Washington's claim that Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido is the legitimate president, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov called out what Moscow sees as rank hypocrisy. This is funny. He said, quote, the U.S., which is paranoid about somebody interfering in their elections, even though they have no proof of that, themselves are trying to rule the fates of other peoples. What they actually do is interfere in their internal affairs. There's no need for U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller to determine that, making a quip about it. Now, again, if it only comes back to you that basically because Maduro's a bad guy, it makes this okay, there's a fallacy there. You can't just deem someone a bad guy and then just disregard all of the rules that they hold everybody else accountable for. Now, he further noted that the speed up of events and unrest inside Venezuela suggests foreign powers are ultimately pulling the strings, calling attempts to foster a coup, quote, someone else's dirty game. He said, quote, we hope the Venezuelan opposition prioritize national interests and call on them not to be pawns in someone else's dirty game. Now, think about that. Now, the Russian Foreign Ministry said further in website statements that Washington's joining a growing list of about a dozen other countries to recognize Guaido, quote, is aimed at deepening the split in Venezuelan society, increasing the conflict on the streets, sharply destabilizing the internal political system, and further escalating of the conflict. And in words eerily similar to the brief international exchange of words over prior U.S. action in places like Libya and Syria, the ministry said that external armed intervention would be, quote, fraught with catastrophic consequences, which we can see they were clearly correct in Syria and Libya. And the reality that these actions they're taking are going to directly hurt the people, you know, the same people they pretend to be fighting for. Now, in the next story, and related to this very same topic, coming from Mint Press News, entitled U.S. Recognition of Rival Venezuelan Government Sets Dangerous New Precedent. Dangerous. And this is an important part of this story. That regardless of whether you think that Maduro is the bad guy and whether you think that this country's in absolute chaos, you know, disregarding the U.S. actions and their foreign policy, that's at least part of that. If you think that this needs to happen, you're ignoring, one, the contradiction in their statements about what other countries can do and what they're doing, and the dangerous precedent this sets for basically every other rogue government around the world. That's a big part of this. Now, the Trump administration, their January 23rd recognition of Juan Guaido as the president of Venezuela, or interim president, in opposition to the de facto or de jure president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, threatens an avalanche of nations recognizing leaders of just various political factions in countries around the world as legitimate governments, setting this precedent for people to say, oh, well, you know, we deem ourselves legitimate, or we deem them legitimate, arguing the reality of the situation on the ground. In reaction to Trump's move, Maduro severed diplomatic ties, as we already covered, and ordered all the embassy personnel to leave. Now, Venezuela's opposition-controlled National Assembly declared a caretaker government as a rival to Maduro government with Guaido as interim president. Now, a similar situation has already been experienced in Syria. In 2013, the Syrian opposition established a rival interim government based in Azaz, Syria, that was in opposition to the de facto government of President Bashar al-Assad in Damascus. The interim government was backed by Turkey, the United States, Saudi Arabia, and others. But it has all but dissolved following Assad's overall victory in the Syrian illegal invasion of Syria by the United States-backed forces. Now, Assad's government retained the support of Russia, Iran, Iraq, China, North Korea, and Venezuela. You can see this split between these countries. But there's also a very important factor to realize that the Russia, China, there's a lot of power on this side that are opposing all of this. Doesn't make them correct. But it shows that this is not just an easy thing to overcome, but the reality that this has happened in more than one country where U.S. just decides to declare a separate government as the legitimate government because that's who they back. Now, what pretends for Venezuela is a situation that will rapidly be copied by other countries that will rush to recognize rival presidents as governments, perhaps even extending support to the establishment of governments in exile. Such situations will only add to the destabilization of internal relations that already permeate the globe, creating the same destabilization they pretend to be fighting against. Now, this is also exactly what the U.S. is doing in Yemen, which we've covered before. This is clearly a new tactic, maybe not necessarily new, but something that's really becoming clear and defined, to support an alternative and illegitimate government and force them into place. That government, of course, that supports the U.S. interests. And that is extremely important in this. The Hadi government was put in place illegally by a U.S. coup, and they're the ones they're trying to force back into place. The U.S. is also backing the same thing in Democratic Republic of Congo, where opposition leader Felix, last name I'm not even going to try to pronounce, was declared the winner of the nation's contentious presidential election, receiving 38.57% of the vote. Now, he's due to replace the outgoing president of Joseph Kabila. However, supporters of another presidential candidate, Martin Fayulu, have called the former ExxonMobil executive the actual winner of the election. And of course, the U.S., Trump himself, stuck out and said, well, you guys better not protest this or we're going to step in. He said the same thing. And again, they're backing a president that ultimately the people do not support. This is happening roundly. And we've pointed out before that in Congo is the place where you get, there's, I believe, cobalt, I believe. If I'm saying the wrong one, I always forget what it's called. There's a mineral that's found basically only in the Congo that's used in the vast majority of electronics. We always have to consider the resource aspect to why they care so much about these countries while allowing their allies to do much, much worse. Now, at this moment, Guaido does not have the support of the military, which means we will likely have yet another exiled, illegitimate government operating in exile with the backing of the U.S., possibly another U.S.-backed coalition using violence, hurting civilians, to force their government in place. Something that we should not be surprised by. Now, what Trump has unleashed with his actions directed towards Venezuela, and didn't begin with Trump. Trust me, this has been ongoing for a long time. But what he has ultimately made happen today and the days before this is a situation where competing governments will be fighting over seats in the United Nations, embassies and consulates all over the world, and the right to speak on behalf of their countries in internal forums. It is the sort of bedlam, as the article puts it, upon which Trump, a proud destroyer of institutions, absolutely thrives. Well, that was their words in the article, but the reality is ultimately that this opens a door for anybody that just decide. And now you can't ignore the connection to what's going on in this country. The reality of people claiming, oh, this election's illegitimate and the way this all works, and trying to basically make their entire platform on showing how somebody was illegally elected. Now, one of the only elected officials in the U.S., which I should point out, who has spoken out against this coup taking place, is California Congressman Ro Khanna. Now, I don't support basically anybody in the government, and you guys all know that. That's my personal belief. But as I always say, credit where credit is due. If Trump was doing something good, and you have in the past, I will point it out. But when you see somebody doing something great, it's worthy of pointing out. And to see him stand up against this is clearly not a popular move within the establishment, and it's good to see this. Now, as the Gray Zone Project pointed out today, which is another great website you should check out, while supporters of regime change in Venezuela insist this blatantly undemocratic move is necessary to defend democracy, which is humorous, make no mistake, the upheaval is clearly not motivated by resistance to authoritarianism, which is what they pretend. Venezuela, which, interestingly and completely relevant, has the world's largest oil reserves, and I believe the second largest gold reserve, and has challenged the hegemony of the U.S. dollar, has long been a target of U.S. aggression. In 2002, the United States supported a military coup that briefly ousted democratically elected President Hugo Chavez and replaced him with a right-wing oligarch, Pedro Carmona. U.S. intervention, including crippling economic sanctions, has only continued since then. Now, regardless of whether it was a socialist government under Chavez, the point is that the people elected him. And they'll continue to say that that's, you know, illegitimate. Anytime they don't like it, it's illegitimate, despite what the rest of the world has to say. Now, the reality is that you cannot have it both ways. You cannot argue for the things that they don't want their enemies to do, and then the U.S. come out and do the exact same thing. It's the definition of hypocrisy. Now, in 2017, the Venezuelan government declared the creation of the Constituent Assembly. This is what I continue to point out. As Fox News and everybody else is claiming that, oh, they just elected a new president, but they don't tell you that this is the National Assembly who is doing so in an illegitimate group. Again, stemming from the fact that the vast majority of monitors claimed the last election was legitimate. So in 2017, the Venezuelan government declared the creation of the Constituent Assembly. Now, Venezuela's opposition refused to recognize this body and boycotted the elections. The opposition instead remained in control of the National Assembly and decided to run it as a separate parallel legislature. Think about that. Now, the Supreme Court deemed the National Assembly, the group backed by the U.S., illegitimate, and held them actually in contempt for essentially running a parallel government and even electing politicians with this side government. Now, the opposition-controlled National Assembly drafted a transition law that openly outlines what policies the opposition, led by Juan Guaido, would pursue in its illegitimate U.S.-recognized government in Venezuela. Now, of course, just at that point, people will still be saying, no, you're wrong, Venezuela's, these people are bad. Now, just imagine for a moment, if after Trump was elected in 2016, the Democrats just decided to label the election a fraud, which they kind of did, but then they acted on it by declaring themselves the legitimate government and saying that the Speaker of the House was now the interim president. Now, I've seen somebody else say the same thing about right now, that, oh, the government's shut down. We're just going to declare Nancy Pelosi the interim government until we can have new elections. Now, think about that. And then, of course, they got the backing of other countries around the world that had a financial and political interest in making sure Trump was not in control, which there are many. That is what we're looking at right now. Regardless of whether you just back Trump, regardless of whether you think he's illegitimate, that kind of action is wrong. Now, secondly, what do you think Trump would do to these people trying to overthrow what he sees as a legitimate government? Do you think he would use force on these people? Do you think Trump would arrest them? Possibly violently crack down on protesters, as we've already seen in the past in this country? I think you know the answer to that. Now consider that in relation to what we're seeing in Venezuela. Now at this point, Russia, China, Iran, Mexico, Cuba, Bolivia, Uruguay, and even NATO ally Turkey are standing with what they say is the legitimate president of Venezuela, and that is Maduro. Now, there's also, I think, about 12, 13 other countries, interestingly enough, all of them that are very clearly have ties to at least a U.S. coup at some point, and they're very clear like lackeys of the U.S. around the world, have all backed Guaido. As I pointed out, remember, if these countries that have an interest, political and financial, to making sure Trump wasn't in control, it's the same thing today. Now, you could say the same thing about Russia, China, Iran, Mexico, Cuba, Bolivia, and Uruguay, and Turkey. That's certainly the same thing. But the reality is it's not as clear-cut as everyone's trying to make it. You watch the mainstream media, they simply say, hey, congratulations, a new president was sworn in, let's move forward. They do not want you knowing the reality. And finally on this topic, some breaking news from today, before we get on to the rest of the things I wanted to talk about, but this was the bulk of the story today. Coming from Zero Hedge, Pompeo blasts Maduro's illegitimate regime. Remember, again, repeating, illegitimate, regime, dictator, over and over. That's how they do that. Blast his regime, promises $20 million for Venezuelan opposition. Well, that's just great for those of you that have always pretended that Trump is going to continue to promise or follow through with his promise about not doing this, more taxpayer dollars funding out to fund yet another regime change. U.S. interventionism, imperialism. This is exactly what he promised was the last thing he would be doing. But all they do, but these same people will then jump right on the boat and say, oh, well, but look, they're dangerous. They're a national security threat, which started from Obama when he deemed that they were national security threats with the most ridiculous concept of a country that has nothing to do with what's happening to us only because they're bad people, apparently. They're become a national security threat. Thank you, Wrecking Dreams. How did Trump crack down on Dem protesters? I didn't say that. But thank you for asking. We've seen crackdown on protesters in this country, was what I said. It's important to pay attention. It's important to listen to what I'm saying, because I try at least to speak very deliberately. The point was about a hypothetical. What do you think he would do if they all of a sudden created a parallel government and then began trying to claim themselves legitimate and held massive protest to try to stop it? And people within were creating violence in order to give them the excuse to show and say, oh, look, Trump's cracking down. Come on, you get it. This is the reality. But we have seen protests all around this country, Dakota Access Pipeline, all over the place, that are violent reactions to legitimate protests. Just look at France, for instance. France is backing this whole thing. Look at France with the yellow vests. Violently, illegally, unconstitutionally cracking down on people trying to protest. And they're backing this. It's ridiculous. Hypocritical. It completely contradicts what they pretend to be about. But I appreciate the super chat. Now, again, the point here, $20 million now going to the opposition, a group that you, at least many people believe is an absolutely illegitimate, and I would agree, stemming from a legitimate election acknowledged by hundreds of observers, including Jimmy Carter, that then elected the Constituent Assembly in 2017, and the Supreme Court is on their side, and now they're saying, well, we disagree about with everybody, and we're going to put them in place, and now giving them $20 million. Speaking at the United Nations Security Council, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo condemned the regime of Venezuela as they continue to do, and promised that the U.S. would offer some badly needed humanitarian relief to the opposition. See, not, it's funny how they say humanitarian relief, but to the opposition and its leader, Juan Guaido, in the amount of $20 million. Interesting. I wonder if Juan Guaido is going to use this to help the people or use this to fund his revolution. You see how that they use these words without intentionally trying to manipulate. If they were trying to help the humanitarian relief, they wouldn't give it to a political side. They would give it to organizations that would help the people. But see, there's an agenda here. Now, as the article points out, the time for debate, or this is from what Pompeo said, the time for debate is over. He declared about Maduro's illegitimate government and morally bankrupt before calling on the Venezuelan military to side with the opposition. which is what's not happening. They're clearly siding with Maduro at this point, which one Twitter actually calculated that $20 million in aid comes to about 62 cents per Venezuelan, which is funny in its own right that it's not really much to help these people. However, this is not for the people. As I'm trying to make clear, despite the insinuation, it's to fund their regime change, to fund the opposition in order to create the revolution. And I would argue, hopefully, that they're probably putting this $20 million up to help nudge the military to support them. Look, here's money. Support this side. We're trying to give you reasons to leave Maduro. It's just wildly illegitimate what they're doing. Now, truly, when you think about it, after all this, plenty of people like guarantee just everything I said, right? It doesn't matter. They still believe what the mainstream media is telling you. But how insulting is it to have a government, the U.S. government, that is responsible for over a million deaths in Iraq, that's responsible for the destruction of countries, nations all around the world under the guise of humanitarianism, leaving these countries in ruin? In Libya, the very groups the U.S. backed are actually now running an open slave market. Point to fact, selling the civilians that the U.S. claimed to be liberating. And this same government is currently responsible for what many are now calling the worst humanitarian crisis in history in Yemen. Now, Maduro may indeed be a bad man. He may indeed be doing bad things. But we cannot ignore the U.S. part in why Venezuela is in dire straits economically, and the U.S. influence over the corporate elite in that country, as Abby Martin has shown roundly, which is why things are so scarce, at least in part. All while they have done and are currently doing far worse than the worst claims that they say about Maduro, and blindly supporting other nations doing far worse than the worst accusations of Maduro. Now think about the groups like Saudi Arabia. And what I'm repeatedly amazed by are those who emotionally respond to these videos with such hate, just incredulous that I'm not just taking the U.S. at their word about what's happening in Venezuela. Didn't you know he's a dictator? That he's starving people? Didn't you know? Didn't you know that he's a villain? Taking the word of the people who lied about WMDs in Iraq, who lied about Gaddafi in Libya, who lied about spying on Americans, who created an entire fabricated story about throwing babies on the cold floor to get us into the Gulf War, which turned out to be a U.S. ambassador's daughter who lied in front of Congress. You can look that up on Wikipedia. Lied and lied and lied repeatedly to get us involved in more war, and we're supposed to trust their word? But sure, I'm the crazy one for doubting them. I'm the crazy one for acknowledging the hypocrisy of backing Saudi Arabia while claiming to fight for democracy in the countries of its enemies. I'm the crazy one for pointing out the absurdity of a country currently starving 20 million people to death that's pretending to care about starving people elsewhere and ignoring their part in it. I must be crazy. I get it. Hopefully, for some, this broke through. But I'm going to move on because this is something I could rant about all day. Now, the stories I want to get into for the rest of the show, which are indeed important, again, showing you some insight into what's really going on behind the scenes of these countries that pretend to fight for freedom. Now, the first one I think is important, more of a follow-up story coming from South Front in regard to the INF Treaty. It's a very interesting story. U.S. representatives refused to attend demonstration of Russia's 9M729 missile that allegedly violates the INF. So first of all, they said, look, we'll send you information. They refused to give them everything, obviously. Here's all of our documents on our new missile system. But they've continued to try to show the United States, look, we'll give you examples of why it's not breaking the rules. The U.S. refuses. Now they basically said, look, come here and watch this demonstration. We will prove to you that this is not what you think it is. Trying to make a point, obviously. Of course, it could be a lie, could be manipulation. It always could. I only always say that because of the people that just assume that we're taking their word for it, because we're not. I question everything. All of their claims from both sides. But here, now they're inviting them now, and then guess what? The U.S. completely refuses. No, we don't want to see your demonstration because we don't care about this. This is our excuse to pull out of yet another treaty, largely to be able to combat China, which is not involved in this treaty. You see, the treaty restricts the United States from building up against China in other ways because it will violate the INF. But despite that, Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybkov added that the U.S. is testing weapons currently prohibited under the INF and over the last 15 years. He said the Americans also tested attack drones, which according to their specifications fall under the description of a cruise missile banned by the treaty. He said at the same time, the use of U.S. target missiles, which also, in essence, were short and mid-range ground-based ballistic missiles, also raised questions. Now, just because somebody from Russia said that, many people will immediately dismiss it. But guess what? Plenty of American independent journalists have also said, yes, this is exactly what's happening. The U.S. has been violating this for a very long time, and they're only now using this excuse to pull out of the treaty because that's what they want to do. It has nothing to do with Russia's actions, or likely lack thereof, as it seems. But it appears that Russia is open to continue the dialogue and rescue the treaty. They've been trying repeatedly to keep the treaty going, whereas the U.S. is strongly intending on leaving it for obvious reasons that have nothing to do with Russia. Now, the next story was something, another follow-up that's very important that we touched about. We touched on momentarily in the other show because it happened right as I was on the show, and I wanted to make sure I researched it before I just went into it. But this is from Press TV. Finally, Press TV anchor and U.S. citizen Marzieh Hashimi freed from U.S. jail. Finally, after 10 days of being illegally detained. Now, this story is still developing, mind you, but I'm happy to see that she got out. Oh, and I would point out, just imagine if this was somebody that didn't have all the backing. Just imagine if this was some independent media YouTuber that didn't have all the backing of the international community. I wonder if she would still be in jail. Now, the U.S. citizen and journalist Marzieh Hashimi, an anchor for Press TV, has been released without charge after being illegally detained for 10 days by the FBI. Now, her arrest prompted protests around the world. After it emerged, she had not been charged with a crime, as well as reports that she had been denied halal food and that her hijab forcefully removed while in detention, which many that would just not care about that. You should understand that this is something, it's just as insulting to a Christian to have their religion violated. It's no different for anybody else. Those that inherently want to just claim all Muslims are bad, you can go watch another show because that's ridiculous. The same people that want to claim that all black people are one way or all white people are one way or all Americans are this way. Very few things are absolutes in this world. There are good people everywhere. And if you watch this woman's coverage, it seems clear that she's fighting for truth. There are plenty of things I disagree with her on. I do happen to think that a lot of these coverage and trying to root this in a religious or race concept. And I truly think it's more important to focus on the fact that a U.S. citizen was detained illegally. But regardless, it seems that she's trying to fight for truth. Now, it says, quote, Marzieh and her family will not allow this to be swept under the carpet. Her family said this in a statement right after her release, which is great to see. They're going to continue to dial down on this. Now, Hashimi will actually reportedly be staying in Washington, D.C. for a demonstration organized by her supporters. This is scheduled for tomorrow. She has called for rallies taking place around the world to protest her detention and go ahead as planned. Now, the FBI and the Justice Department, of course, have declined to comment on the case. However, a court order last week, as we reported, that approved the partial unsealing of information in the case said Hashimi was arrested on a material witness warrant issued by a federal judge. It affirmed that while she was assigned an attorney, she, quote, has not been accused of a crime. Now, the point of this is it's a very vague law that's never really been used in this extent to detain somebody momentarily, as the law is supposed to be, if they think they're a flight risk and that they have pertinent information to a larger case. Now, she's clearly said, I wasn't a flight risk. Her family said the same. And the point is they didn't have the legal standing to do that to begin with, because you can't just assume clairvoyant that, oh, she's going to be a flight risk. They don't know that because they didn't try to serve her any papers while she was overseas. They didn't try to serve her papers while she was here. They have no indication of that. And you can't just assume that they're going to. That is a violation of the law itself. And of course, it's supposed to be you're supposed to take a deposition, usually within 24 hours, and let them go, which is how it's been used in the past. But we saw her detained for 10 days. Now, of course, interestingly enough, a U.S. government source told Reuters it appeared that the grand jury was examining whether Press TV is a propaganda outlet that failed to register with the Justice Department of an agent of a foreign government. How supremely ironic and hypocritical of the leaders of propaganda around the world to try to focus on another outlet that simply tries to give you an alternative view on what's going on in Iran as propaganda. I don't doubt that their outlet probably sways things towards their direction too, like basically everybody does. But the reality of it's the same thing we're talking about in all these stories. For them to be doing the same, if not much worse, while trying to attack others for it. It's crazy. But of course, again, detaining her for 10 days, a U.S. citizen, for simply trying to find ways to attack this group is absolutely unconstitutional and should not stand. So I support any protests you want to do, but make sure they are nonviolent, as always. Now for the final story, something I'm following up again from yesterday, which is important to touch on. Gaza escalation, Israel strikes Hamas target and strip, withholds Qatari cash. Now it's interesting to see all the things that have been happening while under the guise of some ridiculous story that's been covering all of the independent media and all of the mainstream media about, you know, a race-baited story about a Native American and a white kid and, oh my God, Trump's dividing the country, everybody's racist. Everyone's talking about it while all these things are happening. Thank you for the super chat again. Now, this is an important story. And it's crazy to see how this continues to happen while they're literally calling somebody else a dictator. While these countries continue to bomb and attack and murder people in Palestine, to murder people in Yemen, all over the place. And this is something that they support. Even though Israel calls themselves the only democracy in the Middle East, they're clearly not. And Saudi Arabia is an open authoritarian monarchy. Sure seems like they care a lot about defending democracy. Now, the Israel Air Force struck targets in northern Gaza on Tuesday. The Israeli army said this in a statement, so they've already admitted to this. According to a statement, Israeli fighter jets bombed several targets at a Hamas training camp, which is what they claim. It says, quote, the strike was executed following earlier strikes during the day and in response to the shooting incidents against our forces. The strike came hours after an Israeli official said that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has decided unilaterally that, you know, not to allow a Qatari money transfer into the strip following Tuesday's escalation along the Gaza border, which saw one Israeli soldier lightly wounded and one Palestinian killed, which is usually how it goes. But of course, Netanyahu just saying, well, because of this thing that they probably instigated, that we're going to, you know, no, you can't send any money to these people because they're our prisoners. That's my opinion, but I think it's pretty obvious there are as many people who are willing to look at the facts can see that they're living in an open-air prison. They control their electricity, they control their water, they control their food, they control how they move around. Sounds like a prison to me. And now somebody's trying to send money to the strip and they say, no, you can't do that because we just feel that they're doing bad things. We're going to punish them for trying to stand up for their rights. Now the Israeli military said it shelled a Hamas observation post after an Israeli officer was injured. The Israeli military retaliated by striking a Hamas post, as they claim, in Gaza, and an attack that injured four and claimed the life of a 24-year-old Palestinian. Of course, but they just always say is we're fighting Hamas, just like they say, oh, we're fighting Iran in Syria, even though they continue to hit Syrian targets. They just make these claims and people just go, sure, Israel, we believe you. Now, earlier in the day, the Israeli Defense Force struck a Hamas post in the northern strip. And you see how this story, even in this article, they claim they're responding to Palestinian fire, but it usually starts with an Israeli act, cracking down on something they deem unfit in the group that they're keeping locked in this area. And then it escalates, and all it ends up coming back to is that, well, because they lightly injured one person, we're going to bomb a bunch of areas which end up killing civilians almost every time. It's not a reciprocal response, first of all. But again, as civilians continue to die, Yemen is clearly the worst situation out there today. The U.S. is completely involved in the hypocrisy of pointing to Venezuela that they have a hand in destabilizing, which is the point of their sanctions. And their actions currently are only going to put more civilians at risk. The hypocrisy of doing so while they're doing much worse many places around the world. Now, I truly hope that I broke through to some people out there, and I could indeed be wrong, as I said yesterday. I'm always willing to be open to the reality that I could be misled by something. I could be swayed by false information. I'm simply trying to keep an open mind and look at the information. But everything I've seen shows me that this is something that's not, we should not be supporting yet another illegal regime change. And usually the people that disagree with me stems back to something that they heard was, you know, said by a U.S. official or on the mainstream media, and that's it. As opposed to speaking to Venezuelans on the ground, as opposed to you independent researchers who have been to Venezuela, such as Abby Martin. So you have to realize the issue there and rectify the reality that at some way along the chain, you're just simply taking the word of people who have regularly lied about doing the exact same thing that has resulted in the destruction of countless nations. Thank you for tuning in today. In about 10 minutes, I'll be going live with Nathan to continue talking about this very topic, about Venezuela primarily. I have an interview coming up soon that I think we just scheduled for the 28th, and that date might change, but with Vanessa Beely, to specifically discuss the Yellow Vests and how this movement is evolving. Again, something that gets basically zero coverage around the world, despite it being easily one of the largest revolutions, one of the largest protests against globalists, against the bankers, against the establishment that I have ever seen. And they just disregard it. So hope we'll have Vanessa Beely on soon to talk about that. Hopefully you'll join us for that. I love you all. Thank you for tuning in. I apologize about the brief beginning absence of my voice because I was trying to rush to get it done before 2 o'clock today, 2 o'clock my time. But please, I hope to see you there. And if any of this opens your mind, even if you disagree with me, if it just began to make you think maybe I should be questioning the establishment narrative, which we should be doing, please spread this with people. Get it out there. And if you'd like to support this channel, you can do so many different ways. The link in the show notes if you'd like to buy a t-shirt, question everything. I'm wearing the Truth Matters t-shirt today, as I truly think that matters, especially in the context of what's going on today, all the lies flying around. You can do so on PayPal, Patreon, Streamlabs. Bitbacker is our new cryptocurrency one. But really, what really matters to me is that you join us in this conversation and you keep an open mind. That's really the most important aspect. So I love you all. Please stay safe. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.